5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
Folks, we got a lot of work to do. I don't only need you to get me elected. I need you once I'm elected.
No longer just who gets to vote or making it easy for eligible people to vote. It's about who gets to count the vote and whether your vote counts at all.
It's about who gets to count the votes, whether it should count at all.
Who gets to count the vote? Count the vote. Count the vote. It's about election subversion, not just whether or not people get to vote. Who counts the vote?
You just got to try harder not to suck.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea, we're converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program.
Well, welcome back, my friends, to the Wendy Bell radio program. This is the part of the week that we enjoy very much because we get to chat with our national security expert, Marine and former federal agent, FBI undercover agent, John Guandolo. John, you know what? It's because of you and the things that you and I have been saying to each other back and forth this week that the title of today's show is Death to America, because we're hearing that in Michigan, my friend.
Yes, well, that's a normal chant from the jihadis, and now we've also seen it as a normal chant from the communist left, who are mimicking the jihadi chant because they are partnered with them. The communists and the jihadis partner together. And now they're not only saying it as they're walking down the street, now they're doing it from podiums, calling for death to America and death to Israel. And I got to say, I just had a conversation with somebody this morning who is not, has really no understanding of the jihadi and communist network in the United States. And this is a really solid individual. And I was just laying some stuff out, and they were shocked. And I think what's shocking to me, not to you and your audience, is how many Americans are today in this last several days and week, the last several weeks, been more and more shocked by what's going on. But for those of us that have been doing this for 22 years or whatever, this is not shocking. This is where this has been going the entire time. And that's who these people are, and that's what they want. They want America destroyed.
You brought up a very interesting point with me about Sharia. And if you see Sharia, and a lot of people aren't familiar with what this means and what it looks like and how it sounds, but you say once you start seeing elements of it, you know that it's already infected an area. Explain.
Yes. So the way Islam and the Quranic concept of war work is that the more overt they are, the more they have assessed that they have won the battle. So 20, 30 years ago, they did things very differently, and they would tell you and speak very publicly about how, and we can walk through it after 9/11, how the Muslim community said, no, jihad is to better yourself, it's spiritual yoga. It means, you know, do better, do my homework better, I want to be a nicer person, those kinds of things, which are, of course, total lies, because the only legal definition in Islamic law for jihad is warfare against non-Muslims in order to establish Islam. But then what we saw, and I even witnessed this at my alma mater, the Naval Academy, they hosted a panel, and I was sitting there with the guy who's the former Inspector General for the Department of Defense, and these all the non-Muslim academics are like, oh, jihad is like, it's the birds and the trees. And then it got to the two Muslims, and they were like, yeah, it's warfare. Warfare against non-Muslims. And I looked at my buddy, and I'm like, well, they're coming out of the shell. And that was about 10 years ago. So once they start being more truthful about what they are, it's they've assessed they're going to be victorious, because otherwise they can't be honest about what it is as under Islam. So the visible Sharia you see with their behavior, with their dress, the men growing the beards in accordance with how Muhammad wore, their prophet wore his beard, and there are different kinds of dress and all kinds of things you can evaluate. If you go into the mosque and you watch how adherent they are to the prayer lines, and you are the men and women separate, here's why this matters, because there was a study done over 10 years ago called Mapping Sharia, where they sent citizens who volunteered to go undercover into 100 mosques across the United States, randomly chosen. And over 80% of those mosques, where it's a one-to-one correlation between visible Sharia adherence and violence being taught in the mosque, and over 80% of the mosques were teaching violence. And it was directly correlated with how people dressed, you know, the beards, all that stuff, the prayer lines, the exact adherence to Sharia. And so when people tell you Sharia is just their, you know, it's their spiritual or religious thing, that's not true.
Right.
It's just not true.
I want to play an audio soundbite for you. This is a reporter from Fox News trying to talk to Rashida Tlaib in the Capitol, you know, bowels of the Capitol building. And I want you to hear closely, John, what Rashida Tlaib says is Jackie Heinrich is trying to say, hey, why don't you talk to me about what's going on in Dearborn? Death to America? What are we doing? Listen.
Congresswoman Tlaib.
Fox News. I don't talk to Fox News.
At a rally in your district, people were chanting death to America. Do you condemn?
I don't talk to Fox News.
But do you condemn chants of death to America?
I don't talk to people that use racist tropes.
Why can't you just say whether or not you condemn people chanting death to America? Why are you afraid to talk to Fox?
Fox News is not listen, using racist tropes towards my community is what Fox News is about, and I don't talk to Fox News.
Is death to America racist? Is chanting death to America racist?
Talking about your guys' racist tropes. You know, you guys know exactly what you do. I know you're Islamophobic, but you guys got to go deal with it on your own self. You're not going to use me.
She can't defend anything, John Guandolo. How do you respond to that?
Well, she's a jihadi, so that's the end of the discussion. That's why she behaves the way she does. She supports terrorists. She is a jihadi, so of course she would. And the fact that she's sitting in U.S. Congress and there's not an open investigation on her, again, is one of the thousands of examples of how inept and or traitorous the DOJ and the FBI are. And I don't care where you fall on that line for people listening, but the FBI and the DOJ are clearly either completely incompetent and inept, they're criminally negligent, or they're traitorous. That's where we are. There aren't other options. They're not just, well, we have a, you know, it's a, we have a room for a debate to disagree. No, we do not.
No, we do not.
No, we just simply don't. The facts are on the table. What the jihadi, the massive jihadi network in the United States, the fact that we have Hamas people working in the White House on the National Security Staff, in the Department of Defense, in the State Department, in the Treasury Department, these are things that we know. And this is just what's known in the unclassified realm. So imagine how many people are working that we're not aware of, that are stuffed away somewhere. It's amazing. And here's an interesting thing that I want to make sure your audience didn't miss. She said to that, Rashida Tlaib said to that reporter, you all, Fox News, you're Islamophobic. You need to understand that is a threat under Sharia, because the leadership of the global Islamic movement officially has linked the term Islamophobia with the Islamic law of slander, which is you cannot say anything about Islam which a Muslim would dislike. That is the legal verbiage. It doesn't matter whether it's true or not, and it's a capital crime. So to be labeled Islamophobic, she just and she knows exactly what she's doing because she is a she believes in Sharia. It's her ideology. It's what drives her. And for those people who are going to say, well, why isn't she walking around the Capitol in a burqa? Because if you're going to ask a question like that, you first have to know Sharia. Muslims in non-Muslim lands, they could walk around wearing crosses and professing Christianity because the deception has no limits when you're in the non-Muslim land in order to conquer.
Whatever needs to get done, whatever you got to do.
Whatever needs to be done.
What she was essentially saying to that Fox News reporter is death to you.
Yes, that's exactly what she was saying. And I'm not sure the reporter understands that.
Well, I didn't either until you just told me about the link there with Islamophobia, claiming that as a capital. I mean, it's just, it blows your mind. John, I want you to hang tight with me because when we come back, you and I were also talking about this Director of National Intelligence report, which is amazing. It's 41 pages. It's this annual threat assessment. What kind of a threat are we in the United States? And I think John's probably got some choice words for this because we absolutely must do better or else it will be death to America. We'll explain next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. Don't go anywhere. Well, welcome back to the Wendy Bell Radio program. We are rejoined by our national security expert, John Guandolo, who is an expert on identifying the threat out there in our communities, ladies and gentlemen. And it's beyond high taxes. It's people who wish to do us harm. John, this Director of National Intelligence's DNI report, I put a link to it on our Locals page for folks who go to locals.com, Wendy Bell Radio. You get the whole rundown. We've got the document there. What struck you about this terror assessment from the DNI, 41 pages. What struck you in this document?
Well, first of all, I'm grateful that you're willing to talk about it. I think what struck me, first of all, is the complete lack of mention of the actual problems, the actual threats that face us. Doesn't even mention the significant, you know, jihadi network in the United States. It doesn't mention the significant communist movement in the United States. It doesn't talk about recent events and cases and things like that. What it does do is it spends about one page on terrorism, and it mentions ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Hamas in just sentences, like a few sentences on Al-Qaeda, a few sentences on ISIS, mostly, well, talking about them overseas and what they're doing. And then it says, really, the problem is this white supremacy and this movement, this Nordic revolutionary movement happening in the United States, which is, you know, it's happening all over, but it's in the United States. We're keeping an eye on that because that's the problem. And then it spent some time talking about Gaza. And, of course, they have to talk about Islamophobia and anti-Semitism and groups like Nazi groups. That's what they're focused on. So once again, not focused on actual threats that evidence and facts demonstrate are a massive threat, like people wandering down the street screaming death to America, and people who are inside the government working in senior levels, like on the National Security Council, who are Hamas people. No mention of the penetration of our government, the massive counterintelligence threat, the massive threat from this jihadi movement, nothing, zero. That's what struck me, is it just reinforced, again, this is either utter incompetence,
yes,
criminal negligence, or treason.
Yes.
I don't see other options.
You know, and I have to ask you a personal question here, John, and I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but you know, this is the agency that you dedicated an awful lot of your life to as an agent, the FBI. And I know that you're still in touch with agents who are active in the Bureau. How do you guys process what you see going on in really what is the death of these institutions? Is it despicable for the folks who are still active who are watching this? Do they communicate that with you?
Yes, the men and women who understand this, and actually a number have reached out to me, who especially those who went through the training I did back in 2006 and 2007, they very much see it, and they're fighting the battles as best they can on the inside. Some have left the Bureau in disgust,
right,
because they couldn't take it. Others thought, I'd rather be inside the gates and fighting from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them feel like that the leadership is completely corrupt. That's the universal sentiment from the people I talk to, which I obviously agree with. The entire leadership class in the Bureau is completely corrupt, and I've talked about on the show the number two guy in the Bureau, you know, Paul Abate, the deputy director. I mean, we put out a video of him with at the Dar al-Hijra Mosque, which is a Hamas, al-Qaeda mosque, 10, 15 minutes from the nation's capital. And there he is hugging the leaders, talking about how great they are, and saying we have to recruit FBI agents from this place, a place founded by Muslim Brotherhood Hamas leaders whose leaders have been al-Qaeda, Hamas. They've had terrorists there. I mean, it's unbelievable. And these people, Paul Abate especially, should be in jail, because you can literally put a statement of facts together to demonstrate he is literally aiding and abetting. So I think the level of disgust in the FBI mm-hmm. is high. For me, before I got out, I was doing battle with the Bureau. I mean, I was told after I ran the training programs, if I talked about it, like literally other agencies were calling me. They were calling headquarters saying, hey, we want that guy Guandola to come train our people. And then I got crapped on for that. And they're like, people are calling headquarters. I'm like, what am I supposed to do about that? And then I was told, if you use your phone or your computer to communicate any of this information to anybody, we're going to come after you again. Another internal investigation of the three that I had open at the time. But it's just, it's unreal. So for me, I don't have any love lost for the Bureau. I went out the door. You know, when the DOD recruited me, they paid me a lot more money and basically said, go. You don't have a leash. Go. Do what you do well. And that was an amazing time. So I don't have any love lost for the Bureau, but people who are still in trying to adhere and are adhering to their oaths of office are finding a lot of friction with
Absolutely.
Leadership.
Well,
and I suspect a few of them are going to end up getting fired, but we'll see.
I'm sure. Well, I think there's an interesting timeline that you just sparked in my mind, John, that I want to dig in with you on a subsequent show. It kind of seems like they wanted to know how much you knew, sir, and you knew more than they wanted. So kind of interesting how you were sort of shown the door in that regard. Well, we'll talk about that at a future date. John Guandola, appreciate your time and your service to country, sir. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
All right. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, Sanctuary City Blues. You know, they say they're doing such great stuff. And then all the citizens get screwed for the migrants. It happened in Denver yesterday. Oh, boy. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. Well, if we wanted to start in California as probably the largest and most populous sanctuary state, I know, Gavin Newsom, you are so great. What did he squander? Like a $100 billion budget surplus, or like $60 billion? Do you have any idea? I don't. How much $60 billion? It's so freaking much money. And Gavin Newsom somehow totally squandered it. And then dug a deeper hole and has California in like $100 billion debt. Where did it go? Where did all of the money for David Hogg's gun pack go? Where did all of the money to Ukraine go? Who got all of the money in the Wuhan Institute of Virology from the U.S. taxpayers to tweak that virus? Who got what? Where did it go? It's all a grift, friends. Everything is a grift. And the whole transgender thing, the sanctuary city thing, come on in, migrants, whomever you are, the land of misfit toys, come under our umbrella. We will take care of you, because in chaos, there's a lot of way to siphon money to yourself. There is no audit big enough to illuminate the suck. And if we want to focus specifically on something, why don't we just zero in on Colorado, my friends? Love the state of Colorado. Never liked the state's politics. All about fuzzy good feelings. And it never works. Denver, mayor. Well, he says he got a lot of problems. We're a sanctuary city. We got a lot of folks that we don't know, don't belong here, but we're going to pay for them. And that means you all are going to pay the price and you're going to have a squeeze on your services as we fall over ourselves to accommodate all these people who ought not be here. And that's not an exaggeration. DailyCaller.com, Blue City plans to defund its police force to pay for illegal immigrants. Like, you can't even have an argument like, you suck. Are you the dumbest person ever? In what part of your mind did that make sense? That connection makes sense. Let's welcome a bunch of people who we don't know anything about and we'll eliminate law enforcement. I mean, what could go wrong? I don't know. You got to hear this, though. The Democratic-run city of Denver, Colorado plans to defund its police department to pay for illegal immigrants. Denver, which is commonly referred to as a sanctuary city, announced Wednesday it's going to spend $89.9 million on services for incoming illegal migrants. Not even here yet. People we think are coming. People we've been told are coming. We got to have $90 million bucks. Where are we going to get it? Well, we'll just do a little, you know, a little shell game. They're pulling some funding from roughly $45 million in public programs and services. This isn't like, you know, we're gonna pull the plug on the Denver Marathon for a couple years and we'll use that money. No, no, no. This is called cutting $8.4 million from the Denver Police Department budget. It's about 1.9% of its total operating budget. And you say, well, it's not that much. Yeah, it is. Oh, yes, it is. Denver became the top destination per capita for incoming migrants in 2023, having had more than what? What do you guys think is a big number? Because this is a huge number. 40,000 people went to Denver alone. 40,000? And that was in 2023, putting the total migrant population at roughly 710,000. According to NBC News, they already spent $42 million in 2023 in housing and medical services for migrants, and they plan to spend over $100 million more on similar costs this year. Oh, it's not just the police. I mean, the fire department, they're rolling in it. They don't need that much money. So we're going to take $2.5 million from them as well. What possibly could go wrong? And this is the mayor of Denver saying, kumbaya, this is a good thing. This is what we have to do. Now, the city is not going to stop recruiting classes for new police officers or firefighters. But if it's anything like Pittsburgh, where I live, nobody's going to want to be a firefighter or a cop anymore. Why? Why would you want that? Why would you want to be that? One of the most severe cuts will come from Democratic Mayor Mike Johnston's office, which will lose about $335,155 in funding. Well, that makes us wonder why the hell you had it in the first place. If it's easy to cut, why don't we cut everything? Why don't we streamline and tighten the belt of everything we do? Well, because grift is the name of the game. And if you can't win elections, you might as well steal the wealth from your people. On to this now. To another sanctuary city, New York City. Who wouldn't want to live there? 50% of working New York City residents need government help to survive. Well, that is a real feather in your cap. That is a real bonus on the plus side of the Democrats. 50%. This is from the IndependentSentinel.com. The latest findings of a new survey on the cost of living in New York City show that 50% of working-age New Yorkers struggle to cover the costs, and roughly 3 million New Yorkers struggle to afford healthy food. Half need government assistance to survive, and they're working. But wait a minute, this administration, remember? They're like, no, we've created all these jobs. This has been so great. Apparently not. This report called The True Cost of Living, which was released earlier this week. Half of all families in New York City lack enough income to survive without some kind of government assistance or help from family or help from the community, as in a food bank. New York City! It sounds deliberate, doesn't it? Socialists and communists, they want everybody dependent on the government. Child care costs, particularly problematic. Parents paying $2,700 a month for daycare. And according to the report, costs have increased 131%. It's unaffordable. It's unsustainable. It's unrealistic. It's undemocratic. It sucks. New Yorkers pay more taxes than anywhere else in the country. And they have to fight criminals. They have to ride aged, dangerous subways while living in crummy apartments. And of course, Kathy Hochul has a housing plan to make it all worse. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to build some places. We're going to use a Gavin Newsom's model. It'll cost billions of dollars. It'll move nobody off of the streets, but I'll get rich and probably reelected. It's just gross, ladies and gentlemen. It's not like you didn't know that. That is why, now more than ever, you need some good news. I need some good news. This is a really sweet story, and it's not typical of what we normally use on this program because I tap into my boyfriend, Steve Hartman, from CBS News. I know, but because they, you know, pooed all over Catherine Herridge, I'm going to pull the reins and I'm going to pull back for my buddy, Steve Hartman. Instead, we're going to do this TikTok video, okay? And this is the cutest thing. It's an elementary school student. Well, you don't need me to tell you about it. Here's the video and then a little talk afterwards. Enjoy.
When an elementary school student was bullied over the shirt he made for College Colors Day, people stepped up to show love in a huge way. When his teacher announced they were having a College Colors Day, he told her he really wanted to wear a University of Tennessee shirt, but didn't have one. So she told him he could wear an orange shirt to show his spirit. Every day leading up to it, he told her he had an orange shirt he was going to wear. When the day finally arrived, he was so excited to show her the shirt. He had taken it a step further and made his own University of Tennessee logo and pinned it on his shirt. After lunch, he went back to his desk, put his head down, and was crying. Some girls at the lunch table next to his were making fun of him for the logo he had created. His teacher posted this story to Facebook and said that she was going to get him a University of Tennessee shirt and wanted to see if anyone had connections to the university to make it a little more special for him. Then, the internet did what the internet does, and the post went viral among Tennessee fans. Letters and packages started pouring in from the University of Tennessee fans. And the university even sent a box of goodies. Then the university took it even a step further and turned his design into an official University of Tennessee shirt, with a portion of proceeds from every shirt sold being donated to an anti-bullying foundation. The demand for the shirt was so high that it crashed the website. Around 115,000 shirts were sold and over $950,000 donated to stomp out bullying. When the young man who made the original shirt reaches college, he has a full-ride scholarship waiting for him at the University of Tennessee.
I just think it's darling. It's just the cutest thing. So he had an orange shirt, and he didn't have anything, obviously, that had UT on it. And so he made his own. It's just the cutest thing. You know, and it's interesting, too, when you let people go and you don't interfere with how they respond, and there aren't parameters, and there's nobody telling anybody what to do, good things happen. Stay out of our lives. Stay out of our way. Let us be good. Don't tell us we're racist. Don't tell us we're hateful. Don't tell us we dislike each other. Stay out of the way. Because good things like that happen all the time. Brock, what school was it again?
University of Tennessee.
Where am I going this weekend, Brock?
University of Tennessee.
That is where I'm going this weekend. I will report back. And if I see that shirt, I'm going to buy it, Brock. He wants a hat. I know. He's always needing something. All right, quick time out. Quick time out. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, it's my favorite time of the week. Bad Joke Friday. Don't miss it. Next. So death to America, that has been the theme today. And I know it sounds very dire. It's pretty serious, and it is serious. But that is why, before we let you go for the weekend and all that good stuff, you need a little slice of magic. And here you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just flew in from New York, and boy, are my arms tired. I'm joking, of course. Anywho, welcome to the Comedy Club. Won't you give it up to Wendy and Brock for Bad Joke Friday?
All right, first joke out of the gates. As always, Dr. Richard Rafferty from the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh. Here goes. Now, remember the rules. We do not read these in advance. So if the delivery is poor, it adds to the magic. Here we go. A little boy goes to his mother and he says, "Mom, where did we come from?" And she says, What do you mean, where did we come from? He says, "Well, where did all the people in the world come from?" Well, she said, "Well, many, many years ago, God created the earth, and then Adam and Eve had a baby and another baby, and then those babies grew up, and they kept having babies, and they populated the world. So we came from God." Confused by this, the boy goes to his father. He says, "Dad, where do we come from?" The father says, "Oh, well, we come from apes and monkeys. It's called evolution. We evolved." Now the kid's really confused. So he goes back to his mother. The boy says, "Mom, you lied to me." She says, "How so, son?" He says, "Well, you said we came from God. Dad says we come from apes and monkeys." The mother says, "Oh, he was just talking about his side of the family."
A man died and went to heaven. As he stood in front of Apostle Paul at the pearly gates, he saw a huge wall of clocks behind him. He asked, "What are those clocks?" Apostle Paul answered, "Those are lie clocks. Every time you lie, the hands on your clocks will move."
"Ooh."
"Oh," said the man, "whose clock is that?" "That's Mother Teresa's. The hands never moved," indicating that she never told a lie. "Incredible," said the man. "That's Abraham Lincoln's clock. The hands have moved twice, telling us that Abe told only two lies in his entire life. Where's Joe Biden's clock?" Paul answers, "His clock is in Jesus' office. He uses it as a ceiling fan."
That was fantastic. I love that.
A little long, but it was good.
My dad told me his password is Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, Donald, Pluto, Huey, Louie, Dewey, Dublin. Because he was told his password had to contain at least 8 characters and 1 capital. Well, I'm just telling you, that's what it says.
I was told I could look at the eclipse with a colander. I tried. It strained my eyes.
What do you call a couple of chimpanzees sharing an Amazon account? Primates.
Oh, God. Whew. What do you call a sick bald eagle?
A sick bald eagle.
Yes.
I don't know.
Ill eagle?
Illegal?
Yeah, but it's spelled
illegal.
Illegal.
Three sisters aged 82, 84, and 86. They live in a house together, right? One night, the 86-year-old draws a bath. She puts her... Stop it. She puts her foot in and pauses, and she yells down the stairs, "Was I getting in or getting out of the bath?" 84 yells back, "I don't know. I'll come up and see." She starts up the stairs and pauses. Then she yells, "Was I going up the stairs or down the stairs?" And the 82-year-old sitting at the kitchen table, she's having tea listening to her sisters. She shakes her head and says, "I sure hope I never get that forgetful." She knocks on wood for good measure, then yells out, "I'll come up and help both of you as soon as I see who's at the door." Sorry. Knocks on wood.
That's still funny.
Sorry,
though.
Okay, good.
Why do women have to do all the cooking? It's law. They have to feed prisoners.
Oh, God. Really? That's very misogynistic.
I believe that was Wayne's.
Yes. Oh! Sunday can be a sad day, but the day before is a Saturday. I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Sadder day.
Oh, Saturday.
Wow. I built the motto of Mount Everest. My son said, "Very nice, Dad. Is it built to scale?" I said, "No, it's built to look at."
Most people are shocked when they find out how bad I am as an electrician.
Why did the crow keep landing and sitting on the telephone line?
Huh.
He wanted to make a long-distance call. That's bad.
I bought a bottle of Jack Daniels, and I tied it to my bicycle carrier. I was about to leave when I realized that if I fell off the bike on the way home, the bottle would break. So I drank all the Jack Daniels before I rode home.
Makes sense.
It turned out to be a very good decision because I fell off my bicycle 7 times on the way home. There you go. It's so stupid.
What has more lives than a cat?
Hmm.
A frog. It croaks every day.
What do clouds wear under their pants? Thunder pants.
Oh, God. How does the man... Oh, this is fitting. How does the man on the moon cut his hair?
Huh.
Eclipse it.
Yesterday, my dog ate some Scrabble pieces, and now I'm waiting for him to have a vowel movement, because this could really spell disaster. Oh, my gosh. You That's are... You one. Are... Wow.
What's the... Wow. What's the best thing about Switzerland?
Hmm.
Well, its flag's a big plus.
Oh, its flag. A woman gets on a bus with her baby. The bus driver says, "Ugh, that's the ugliest baby I've ever seen." The woman walks to the rear of the bus and sits down fuming. She says to the man next to her, "That driver just insulted me." The man says, "Will you go up there and you tell him off? You go on. I'll hold your monkey for you."
There are three types of people in the world.
Uh-huh.
Those who can count and those who can't.
Jeez. I almost didn't get that.
That wouldn't be the first time.
Okay. My wife lost her membership to Weight Watchers today because she dropped a bag of M&Ms on the floor. She said it was the best game of Hungry Hungry Hippo she'd ever seen.
Two windmills are standing in a wind farm. One asks, "What's your favorite type of music?" Uh-huh. The other says, "I'm a big metal fan."
Cop pulled me over, walked up to my car and said, "Papers." I said, "Scissors, I win." Drove off. He must have wanted a rematch because bro's been following me for at least 45 minutes now.
What's the difference between a Scotsman and a canoe?
A Scotsman and a canoe? Yeah. I don't know.
A canoe will tip.
What happens to a frog's car when it breaks down? It gets towed away. I know. I'm so funny. Guys, we love having you here. Wendy Bell Radio Network, get the app, get the podcast, but make sure you get back here on Monday. Peace.